Welcome to the Lion's Tribe. I am Pastor Jimmy Odukoya. I pray this episode blesses you and it reminds you to become the lion that God has called you to be. Be blessed.
It is no coincidence that we are in the month of supernatural delivery. And because the devil knows what is coming, he will try to intensify the heat. But the more he turns up the heat, it's just an indication that your victory is on its way. You know, sometimes we ask questions like, why is the devil fighting me so much? Why am I going through so much hardship? Why am I going through so much struggle and turmoil? I think it is an indication, it's actually the highest form of flattery, because for the devil to fight you, that means you are a threat. If you are not being attacked, you are either in the wrong battle or you are the enemy. You cannot be in a battle and not expect to be attacked. And if you are in a battle and you're not being attacked, you're either not in the right battle or you are the enemy. Because I will not shoot you if you are on my side. I will not attack you if you are on my side. But if the fight is plenty, that means you are a threat to the kingdom of darkness. And when we talk about supernatural delivery, the intensity of the pain is at the highest point right before the baby comes. So, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them from them all. How will they know that you have a God when all they try to do, when they do their worst, but yet you are still standing? How do you explain somebody shot in the face with an automatic rifle, AK-47? In one spot for over an hour, any medical professional will tell you the amount of blood loss. And yet, she's standing here before you to testify. There are so many ways that story could have ended. How do you stand to talk without a tongue, half your tongue split, teeth scattered, jaw broken, but yet you are still standing? What do you do? I'm sure the devil himself is confused. Because when he shoots his best arrow and then it still doesn't work, then what? For if they had known, they would have not crucified the King of Glory. We have entered a month of supernatural delivery. Everything the Lord has promised, every purpose, every dream, every vision, everything that he has spoken to you, this is the month that you bring it forth. In the name of Jesus, this is the month where everything he has spoken concerning you comes to pass. Pastor, that's a very audacious statement. Everything? Everything that he has spoken. Isaiah 66:7-9. Let's look at it very quickly. That's not what I'm preaching on today. Let's just look at it. Put it on the screen. Isaiah 66:7-9. Before she was in labor, she gave birth. And we were praying on that on Monday. Before she was in labor. And what I mentioned to them was, what you see here is a natural disruption of things. Because what happens usually is labor is an indication that the baby is coming. So there's usually no baby without you going through labor. But this says, before she was in labor, she gave birth. In other words, for your sake this month, the natural order of things will be disrupted. For somebody here, what should take you years will take you months. For somebody, what should take you months will take you days. For somebody, what will take you days will take you minutes. For somebody, what should take you minutes will take you seconds. In the name of Jesus, the natural order of things, linear time will be disrupted because he is the one that redeems the time. Because he is not constrained by time, he is the one that can make 1,000 years like a day and a day like 1,000 years. He is the one who turned water into... Now, for those of you who knows how long it takes for grapes to be fermented, it is a process. You do not extract grape juice and overnight it becomes wine. They must take it and crush it and extract it and keep it in a barrel. And he said, for months, sometimes depending on how potent you want the wine to be, years. Because the older the wine, the better. And the Lord of the host of the party said, oh, you have reserved the best wine for last. In other words, it was aged, it was full, it was bodied, but yet it happened in a second. 1 second they were pouring water. The next moment they were pouring wine. The natural disruption of things, what should have happened over months to years in the natural, took seconds. For somebody here today, that will be your testimony. The natural disruption of things, whatever systems have to be toppled, whatever lines have to be rearranged, for your sake this month you shall see it come to pass. Before she was in labor, she gave birth. Again, I mentioned to them that the labor is an indication that the baby is coming. So if somebody was going to track, you have a delivery date, you have a due date, and then anywhere before or weeks plus or minus your delivery date, you now go under observation, because baby can come early, right? Or it can come after, but then you are under observation. And I was saying to them, a lot of times, it is the same way the devil is aware when your baby is supposed to come. And that is when he begins to turn up the heat, because he can see in the realm of the supernatural, delivery date is on its way. And we are told, when Jesus told the parable, he says, while they were asleep, they went, the enemy went to sow tares amongst the wheat so that they would grow together. In other words, they were waiting for the right time to come and infiltrate to destroy what God had promised, or their harvest. But you see, it says before labor, the baby came. In other words, God threw them into derision and confusion because he changed things on them. The Bible says that those who are born of the Spirit are like the wind. You do not know where they are coming from or where they are going to. But somebody here in this month, where the enemy has plotted your downfall, because he is trying to plot based on the natural timelines of things, he will throw them into confusion. Because before labor pain, the baby will come. In the name of Jesus. Before she was in labor, the Bible says that she gave birth. That means she was pregnant with promise. She was pregnant with vision. For somebody here, your fear has been, will this baby ever come? Both figuratively and literally. For some of you, you have given up on the things God has spoken to you. And it feels like what you have carried is now stillbirth. Because you have waited for years and you have not seen it come to pass. For somebody here today, hear me prophetically. You will not abort the promise God has given to you. That baby, that dream, that vision will come to pass in the name of Jesus in this month of supernatural delivery. It will not be by your knowing or your understanding or your knowledge of how things should go. It is not to the one who willeth or the one that runneth, but to the one who God shows mercy. You will see everything God has spoken concerning you come to pass this month in the name of Jesus. Eyes have not seen. It is not natural. It is supernatural. It would defy natural logic. It would defy human understanding and reasoning. See, for somebody here, you have given up. As a matter of fact, somebody, and I said, I think it was a Monday, you know, some places you might have applied, they might have rejected you. This month, they will call you back. Where they passed you up on that job or on that contract, somehow, unexplainably, they will call you back. For somebody, you have been owed money for such a long time, you have written it off in your books as bad debt. You will get a surprise this month in the name of Jesus. In a month of supernatural delivery. I'm going to shift, but let's finish this scripture. She gave birth, and before her labor pain came, continue. She gave birth to a boy. Continue. Who has heard of such a thing, and who has seen such things? For somebody here, your testimony will be a surprise even to you. For somebody here, they will say concerning you, who has heard of such a thing? The second to the last man, I forget his name, you know, that he said, they referred to him as the one that's died. And yet he's standing before you to give testimony. They were rolling him on a gurney to deposit his body into the morgue. Who has heard of such a thing? And then he saw someone and said, go back. And then he woke up and he threw it away and everybody ran. Of course they will run. Because the person was, for somebody here, and you know, what are the odds that of all days he decides to give his testimony today? You see, nothing just happens by coincidence. And I believe a lot of times, sometimes God will use natural indicators to show you what he's doing in the supernatural or in the spiritual realm. For somebody, your dream was as dead as the young man on the gurney. It's been done. And yet, everybody had concluded, this is how your story, you were a foregone conclusion. And everyone has said, this is the end of the story. But right before their eyes, God is about to do something in your life that will make people say, who has heard of such a thing in the name of Jesus? It's Thursday morning. You could be anywhere. You could be anywhere right now, but you're here. I decree and declare that the Lord will meet you at the point of your need. In the name of Jesus. Continue on. It says, who has seen such things? Continue. Can a land be born in a day, or a nation be brought in a nation be brought in a moment? A nation be born, it brought forth in a moment. These things sound again like things that should take years. And I keep hearing the Lord say, I am redeeming the time for you. Everything you thought you had lost over the series of your life, over the last 15 years, I am redeeming for you in 15 months. Somebody needs to mark their calendar and count 15 months from now. And then we will compare notes 15 months from today. What you have lost in 15, I don't know why it's 15, I heard very clearly. What you have lost in 15 years, I am redeeming in 15 months. Can a nation be brought forth in a moment? As soon as Zion was in labor, she also brought forth her sons. We started with Zion giving birth to a boy, and now she's bringing forth her sons. In other words, there will be multiple. Where you're expecting to receive one, you shall receive multiple. Where you have planted and your harvest is supposed to be tenfold, you shall receive a hundredfold. Because supernatural delivery is working on your behalf. Continue on. Now, this is what the Lord says. Shall I bring to the moment of birth and not give delivery? God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. If he has said it, I have not brought you this far to leave you now. He says, shall I bring you to the moment of birth and not give delivery? If you are still alive, he has not done with you yet. He's not done with you yet. He's not done with you yet. Shall I bring you this far to leave you now? After everything you have been through, do you think this is how the story ends? Shall I bring you to the moment of birth and not give delivery? Every word that he speaks from his mouth cannot return to him void. It must accomplish. It must accomplish. It must accomplish. Every promise, every prophecy, every word, every dream. You know, for somebody here, you have got to the place of frustration because when you close your eyes, you see what he has promised. But when you open your eyes, your reality is not matching with what he's showing you. But there is a reason why he keeps showing you your promise. So you don't give up in the process of delivery. When you are going through the pains, when a woman is about to give birth, you have midwives who are there to encourage, to guide, to tell her not to stop in the midst of the pain. Because to stop in the midst of the pain is to abort what could be coming, could put what is coming in danger. And the Lord, a lot of times, will always show you your promise, but not show you the process. He will always show you what is coming, but he will not show you how you will get there. Because he knows if I should show you the process, you yourself might abort the promise. He could have taken the Israelites to the shorter path when he came out of Egypt. And he said, you know what? If I take them through this route, they will encounter enemies and they will go back. So I will take them through the longer route through the desert. And for them, they could not understand. They wanted to get there in time because they said, listen, you're not ready to fight these enemies that is waiting ahead of you, but I will take you step by step, preparing your character, building your trust, but keeping your eyes on where I am taking you, knowing that if I have said it, I will do it. If I have spoken it, I will bring it to pass. But do not take your eyes off what I have spoken to you. You keep seeing your vision. You keep seeing the dreams. You keep seeing the promise. God wants me to remind you, irregardless of whatever you see around you, whatever might seem like it's not matching up with what he has said, it doesn't matter. God is not a man that he should lie. Let God be true, and every other man be a liar. So if your situation is not matching up with the promise, it's a lie. Because God can only be true. Shall I bring you to the moment of birth and not give delivery, says the Lord. Continue on. Or shall I, who gives delivery, shut the womb? For somebody, you need to hear very clearly. Every door that needs to be opened to you this month, he says, will I give you delivery and then now shut your womb? Every door that needs to be opened unto you this month, we decree it open now in the name of Jesus. He did not bring you this far to shut the door. I command in the name of Jesus, according to the word of God for you this month, every door be open to you now in the name of Jesus. Look at your neighbor and say, welcome to your month of supernatural delivery. Find somebody else, say, welcome to your month of supernatural delivery. If you believe it, say amen. Amen. If you receive it, shout amen. Amen. If you know that it is done, give God a shout of hallelujah. Amen, 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 amen. You may be seated. Appreciate worship team, Grace Levites. God bless you. Thank you so much. It's good to be back at Thursday showers. I realize I've been here for like, what, 2 weeks? Was it 2 weeks? 2 weeks. It was 2 weeks. Pastor Larry said it was more than that. It was only 2 weeks. First week was Pastor Tony. I appreciate Pastor Tony. And then the last was Pastor Tolu. No, Pastor Tolu was Thursday. Last Thursday. I appreciate Pastor Tolu as well. Yeah, I remember it was 2 weeks. I missed you guys, but you were in very good hands. You know, I'm sure you people didn't even notice. Everything just went on. Now this is my Everybody is like, it's okay, it's all right. Everything just went on smoothly because we have great hands. One more time, I appreciate everyone who's held it down. Amen, amen, amen. So I want to wrap up. We were Psalm 24. Psalm 24. And we've gotten to, I believe it is verse 7. But let's run from verse 1 real quick. Put Psalm 24 up on the screen. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness of it. The world and those who dwell in it. The earth is whose? It is the Lord's. And everything in the world, anything that dwells in the world belongs to God. Continue on. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the streams and the rivers. Continue on. Who may ascend unto the mountain of the Lord? And who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to what is false, nor has sworn oaths deceitfully. I remember we said if it's based on this, nobody can ascend. All of us, we're all disqualified. And people are grateful for Jesus and the price that he paid. He shall receive a blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Continue on. This is the generation of those who diligently seek him and require him as their greatest need, who seeks your face even as did Jacob. Remember, we talked about this, how a lot of times we come to God with our laundry list of all the things we want him to do for us. Lord, bless me, fix me, elevate me, motivate me, surround me, clothe me, feed me. Amen. And we're always so focused on what we want God to do for us. But we have turned God into our personal genie or our spiritual ATM. And we come in like those people that when you see their calls, you know they're only calling you for one thing because they want something. Amen? How many people know we have experienced that? You say, and then I'll call, try to do small talk. Don't small talk. Get straight to the point. What do you want? The more you're trying to do small talk, you're just insulting my intelligence. Hello, how are you? You don't care how I am. What do you want? And that's exactly what we've turned God to. Our worship and praise is manipulation. Ooh. It's like small talk before we submit all our wants, needs. Oh yeah, Lord, fix me, bless me, do me, change me, amen, amen, amen. And then we now get upset when the things we pray for, we don't get. The height of entitlement. It is the height of entitlement. Sir, ma, the earth is the Lord. God owns you. He owns you. You don't own him. It's not the other way around. The breath in your lung belongs to him. Ha! And then you want to be upset that God, you didn't do it by the time when we agreed. Who agreed? Thank God for his long-suffering nature. Because God knows if I was God. Oh my God. My auntie said, I said, oh my God. If I was God, oh my God, it's true. Because all of you be in trouble. I don't know how God has not destroyed half of the world yet. Me, it'll be shoo, 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 shoo. Just like it'll be doing shoo, shoo, die, die, die. Oh yeah, come back, die again. But thank God I'm not. And thank God that you are not.
Please, one more time, celebrate God. Celebrate Jesus. Let's continue. Next verse. Now he says, lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Now it's important that we understand the context. Remember, I laid the background for this a while back. It is believed that this psalm was written or was sung as David was leading the procession of the ark back into Jerusalem after such a long time. If you go back to 1 Samuel, we know when Israel went into battle with the Philistines, and because they had turned away from the Lord, the Philistines were able to seize the Ark of the Covenant and take it into their nation. But the problem was, for the 7 months that it was there, there was problem. Because you cannot take captive the presence of God. How can you hold a God that cannot be held? How can you try to contain a God that cannot be contained? The earth is the Lord's. And the ark represented his manifest presence in that time. And they took the ark. And they took it into their temple. And they put it next to Dagon. And they came back the next morning. The only problem was Dagon was on the floor in front of the ark. They said, maybe there was small earthquake mistake. So they lifted him up. Lifted it up. The next day they came back again. Every knee must bow. Whether they have knee or not knee. Whether it's concrete knee or wood knee. Every knee must bow. So they come in. Say, okay, there's a problem here. Not only that, the whole place scattered. Shattered. We have to remove this thing. So they moved it to another place. Everywhere it went, plague followed them. Boils. So they kept moving from different capital. After I said, you know what? At this point, they went to go and look for prophets and said, please, what do we need to say? Okay, here's what you do. Eh? It's like you take it, put it on a cart with two cows. Eh? They now take, they had 7 boils and 7 gold mice, I believe, to represent the plagues. Put it in a cart and then release it. If it goes left the way of, I forget what birth, something, Shashar going towards Israel, then you know that it was God that was doing us. But if it goes the wrong way, it was just coincidence. And they put it, and sure enough, the cart went to Israel after 7 months. And it entered a place, I forget the name now, I see it in my head. And it entered, where is it? It wasn't Obed-Edom first. They entered, it was a town called, starts with a G. And when they entered, everybody was like, ooh, the ark. And the only problem was they got too excited because they rushed to go and see the ark and they dared to look inside the ark. And the Lord said, hold up, you can't do my glory anyhow. 50,000 men dead. So when 50,000 died, they called the other people, said, please come. Come and collect this ark. And then they collected the ark and they sent it somewhere else. And it was there for almost 20 years. And then David now becomes king. And he says, hey, let's bring the ark into Jerusalem where it should be. And then we know what happened. They put it on the cart and Uzziah tried to touch it. And he got struck and he died. And David's like, hold up. Let's rethink this. We're not worthy. They put it in the house of Obed-Edom. And it was there for months. I think it was 3 months. And then they heard how the Lord had blessed the house. I said, okay, maybe it's not killing people anymore. Let's try again. And David goes, and they take the ark and they carry it the right way this time. and they are making a procession, and they said every six steps, David would kill a fatling and an ox. Kill it every six. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Sacrifice. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Sacrifice. A lot of offerings were made that day. And then they would have us know that when they got to the gates, because you must understand that back in the day, fortified towns, they had huge gates. You could not just walk into a town that way. The gates were always closed. And when you would reach, and if you've ever seen any of these old movies, you know, set out in old medieval times, when you get to the gates, because the gate is closed, when you get there, you will ask the watchman to open the gate, and he will ask, "Who are you?" And then they'll say, "I am such and such." And then the gates would be opened depending on who you are. So here we have David coming with the ark, singing, and they get to the gates. Historians will tell us. And they believe that this part of the psalm was sung when they got to the gates. And so they get to the gates and they say, "Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, you ancient doors." And you know, the gates back then were very heavy, covered in wood. And a lot of times what would happen is they would have to pull it in such a way, a pulley system, where the gates were lifted up higher than what the fence was. And it is told that when he got there, historians believe that he had asked them to lift it up because the space required to pass through, this was not just anybody or any person coming through, this was the presence of God they were bringing in. So he said, "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, so that the King of glory shall come in." That is the context. It's important to understand that. But I believe there are other things that we can glean from this as well. It is interesting that David, who is king, refers to the ark and the presence of God as the King of glory. One who is king refers to the presence of God as the King of glory. In other words, it's an indication that he knew that everything he was, the sum total of his kingship, was subject to the ultimate king. He recognized, and that's what you saw in his disposition, was that he's always had this idea or mindset that everything he was came from the king. And in that time, when it was an aristocracy, the word of the king, where the word of the king is, there is power. The word of the king is born. He was the ultimate. He was the highest all there was. The end all, be all of everything was the king. But even in spite of all of that, in his mind, he knew that there was one king that he answered to, and that was the King of Kings. And it was important that mindset to have, because when we begin to think that way, we realize that everything we are, everything we have, everything we own is not because of anything that we have done, but it's because we have a king that we submit to. Once you begin to think that way, it makes sense why Paul says, "All that I have accomplished, I count it as done. I am under no pretense to surmise or think that I put myself in this position. Because if you are a subject, everything that you see around you belongs to the king. And anything that you use belongs to the king. And anything that you come in contact with belongs to the king. So you do not own everything. You are just stewards of the king's property. What if we saw life that way? We don't own anything, including your life. It's not yours. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. All and those that dwell within. If you begin to think that way, your life is not your own. Then we begin to think less about what God can do for us and what we can do for Him. Your children are not yours. After all, children are a gift from the Lord. Your children aren't yours. Your life is not yours. The house you live in is not yours. Oh, really? But I paid for it. And it's because you are alive. Sometimes I drive through. Have you ever driven through? You know, sometimes this is where my mind works sometimes. I'm like, what if these trees could talk and tell history of the men they had watched? Or the roads or these buildings or these structures can tell, give you history. Oh, I remember when so and so. This happened. Nothing we are is ours. And David operated from that knowledge that he was a king subject to the ultimate king. So when he said to lift up the heads, O ye gates, they were not lifting it up for him. They were lifting it up for the King of Kings. He was not standing there in his position as king. He was asking them to honor the one through which he represented. How does that apply to us today? If we carry the King of Kings everywhere we go, people will not respond to you, but they'll respond to the one that is inside of you. Because greater is he that is in you than is in the world. But you see, David was aware of what he carried or what he was bringing in. He says, lift up your heads because the King of Glory is coming in. How do we behave? Do we behave with the knowledge of the mindset that we represent the king? Do we walk like we represent the king? Do we talk like we carry the king? Do we move like we carry the king? Your life is not yours. We represent the king. When people come in contact with you, do they see the king that you carry? He says, lift up your heads, O ye gates. And while I was reading that, God said something to me. He said, I want you to say to somebody, lift up your head. Lift up your head. The King of Glory is here. Let him come in. Lift up your head. He is the glory and the lifter of your head. Lift up your head. Your head has been downcast for too long. Lift up your head, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors. So the King of Glory shall come in. It starts with you lifting up your head and then opening the gates. The Bible says, I stand at the door and I knock. You see, the glory can only come in to the extent of which you open the gates. Paint the picture. The King of Glory, the Ark, is at the gate. But until they open the gates, the King of Glory cannot enter. The King of Glory is at the door of your heart, at the door of your life. Lift up your heads and be lifted up. ye everlasting doors. Because when you open the gates, then the King of glory shall come in. You need to decide that from this moment on, the gates of your heart, of your soul, of your spirit remains opened so the King of glory can come in. I stand at the door and knock. As much as the presence of God had come with David, can you imagine if they got to the gate and then the watchmen and those who control the gates refused to open it? He's done what he needs to do to get there. Lift up your, it's the king, open. They said, no. But we, no. Some of us wonder why we don't see the glory of God in our lives, because we haven't opened the gates. Oh, it's very quiet now. You know the song that we sing? Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. let me show you what to actually do. Let me show you. If this is us and this is our lives, right? Let's see. PD, please come. And then PD is supposed to be God, right? Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I breathe. Lord, have your way in me. That's literally what we do. Can the church say amen? Amen. But we can sing the song, go. And God is like, but wait. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up so that the King of glory can come in. You keep trying to do it by yourself. Submit your life into my hand and let the King of glory come in. Who is the King of glory? Put it up there. The Lord, strong and mighty. Do you see that you are fighting battles you don't have to fight? Do you see you are carrying things you don't have to carry? Because if you let the King of glory come in, he is strong and he is mighty. Let him in. There is nothing that you will deal with in your life that he cannot handle. Lift up your heads. Open up the gates. So the King of glory, his glory cannot be contained. It cannot be controlled. It cannot be destroyed. It cannot be stopped. It cannot be diminished. It cannot be depleted. Open up the gates so he can come in. Who is he? He is the Lord, strong and mighty. Allow his strength to be mighty in your situation. Your requirement is not to have strength. He says, I am their strength. He said, let the weak say, I am strong. Because it is not of your own strength. But if you open up the door, it is in his your weakness that his strength can be made manifest. The Lord strong and mighty. Continue on. The Lord mighty in battle. He is the Lord of hosts. He has never lost a battle. Why are you fighting any battles in your life when the King of Glory, the Lord strong and mighty, the one mighty in battle, is inside of you? Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord, He delivers them from them all. Oh, I'm going to, it's okay. How do you fight this battle? Open up the gates and let the King of Glory come in. Lord, I step out of the way and I put you in the driver's seat. Whatever you decide to do with my life, I submit my life to you. Wherever you say to go, I will go. Whatever you ask me to do, I will do. Because I've opened up the gates. For too long, I've tried to do things on my own. But now I realize that where you need to be is within the gate. So I'm opening up from now on. I'm taking my hands off the controls, off the reins. I'm opening up completely to you. Come on in. Do only what you can do. I submit my life to you. He has never lost a battle. So he cannot be within your gates and lose a battle. You cannot lose a battle if you have the King of Glory inside. But I've trusted things to God and it didn't pan out the way I wanted. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. But when you relinquish the reins, whatever he says do, then you do. How do you explain Jesus telling Peter to cast his net on the other side? He said, Lord, understand that this is what we do. This is who we are. We're professional fishermen. We know these waters. We know when to fish. We know where to cast our net. We know the exact time at the exact spot to, and we have done it all night and caught nothing. But at your word, I will turn off my logic and my mind and my experience and my wherewithal and the knowledge of what I think I know, how to move, what to do, who to talk to, where to go, how to position myself at your word. And he put the same net in the same spot, in the same place. But this time, the result was different. Why? Because he opened up the gates and the King of Glory came in, and he allowed the King of Glory to direct his nets, and where in the same place there was nothing, he caught everything. The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. You know, sometimes the Lord might repeat something twice. Now, the writer said it's possible that when they sang it, those on the inside echoed it back to them. But he says, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and lift them up, ancient doors. You know, in my mind, I see there are certain areas on your in your lives that have become so old and and dusty, they're ancient. Think in your mind to an abandoned building, dust mites, sand, everything settled on. Wood that's creaked, that's dried. For some of us, there are certain dreams and visions that have become ancient. We have subtly let them go. We just realized, or we've just concluded, that at this time of our lives, those things are far gone. And you don't even dare to dream anymore because that was in the past. And they've become ancient. Oh, but God says, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and lift them up, ancient doors. In those things or those places of your lives that have become ancient, lift them up. Lift them up. Because darkness can never comprehend light. When light comes in, darkness disappears. The opposite of light is not darkness. Darkness is the absence of light. So it may seem ancient, but when you lift them up, then the King of Glory and we know that when His glory inhabits a place, His glory takes over, it permeates everything. Isaiah said that the weight of His throne filled the temple with glory. Glory. His manifest presence. You lift it up and He comes in. Continue on. What does it say? That the King of Glory may come in. Who is He then? This King of Glory, who is He? He is the Lord of hosts, the hosts of the armies of the heavens. He is the Lord of hosts. Remember, I spoke about it on Sunday. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. He is the Lord of everything. And if you have the Lord of everything, you have everything. In the beginning was God. It says, Genesis 1 says, in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning. That means God was before the beginning. The beginning did not begin without God. God began the beginning. Before there was a beginning, there was God. So there was nothing, but there was God. And He says that everything that we see was made by Him, and there was nothing that we see that was not made without Him. So if you have nothing, but you have God, then you have everything. Everything. Because before everything was God. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. But there's nothing to show for it. It's okay. Just lift it up, ye ancient doors. Why? Why? Let the Lord of hosts come in. Let the Lord of everything come in. Because where everything is, when everything enters, everything is present. It doesn't matter if there is barrenness. The Bible says He told Isaac to sow in the land, and there was famine in the land, and everybody was running away from the land because there was famine. But the one who is everything told him to sow into nothing, and he got everything. He is the Lord of hosts, of the heavens and the earth. He is the King of Glory who rules over all creations with His heavenly armies. And that word, you know what Salah means? Rest. That word, when you see Salah, it's like, take a restful pause. Just Salah. That's how it ends. That's it. Do you want to rest in life? Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and lift up your heads, O ye everlasting doors, and let the King of glory come in. Because once he comes in, he takes over everything. And then you don't go through life worrying. Do not worry about your life. Do not worry about what you eat. Sir, they just increased electricity tariff from 68 to 255. I know. I you know, it's like, sometimes I just think that government is looking for ways just to frustrate us. Just like, let's increase fuel. Okay, let's give them life. I know, but I like to quote, we are in this world, but we are not of this. I take solace in the fact that the God I serve, who is the Lord of hosts, knew that at some point they will increase tariff of electricity. Yeah, it's okay. He's not shaking. He's outside of time. Anytime you hear anything, just say to yourself, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, so that the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. He's mighty for that situation. He's strength for that situation. In the midst of that pain, his strength. In the midst of that worry, his strength. Who is the King of glory? The Lord, mighty in battle. He is the Lord of hosts, of everything, of everyone, in every place, in every situation, at every time. And then he says, Selah. Selah. In the month of supernatural delivery, open up the doors and let the King of glory come in. Because it is he that worketh in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Let the King of glory come in. For the next 1 minute as we go, please begin to open your mouth and pray. Whatever that situation is, whatever that circumstance is, whatever is the thing that has kept you up at night, whatever it is, just begin to say to yourself, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors. And I say to myself, I allow the King of glory, come on in. Come on in, Holy Spirit. Come on in, King of glory. Come in, take over my heart, take over my life, take over my soul, take over my spirit. I lift up my hands. It is in you I live, it is in you I breathe, it is in you that I have my being. I lift up my hand. In every area I lift up my hands, O ye gates. I can't do it without you. I've tried it my way, tried it in my strength, in my knowledge. And at this point in my life, I say, I let the King of glory come in. Come on in. Come on in. Let him in. To ancient places of your lives, let him in. To the places that you worry about the most, let him in. To the things that have plagued your heart, let him in. Let him in. Who is this King of glory? He's never lost a battle. You are Jehovah. You are Jehovah. Mighty man. You are Jehovah. You are the mighty man of war. You are.
You are Jehovah. You are Jehovah. You are the mighty man. You are Jehovah. You are the mighty man. You are Jehovah. You are Jehovah. You are Jehovah. You are the
mighty.
You are Jehovah. You are the mighty man. You are Jehovah.
Father, Lord, we thank you. Father, we thank you, O God, as we purpose in our hearts to lift up our heads and to open up our gates so that you may come in, not just for now, but for eternity. Everything that we are, we submit to you. Everything that we are, we will be or hope to be resides in you. It is in you that we live. It is in you that we move. It is in you that we have our being. Father, we submit the reins of our lives over to you. Do as you will, O God. May we be aware of you in everything that we do. May we always honor the King of Glory and make room for him. Make room for you in every area of our lives, because you are the Lord strong and mighty. You are the Lord mighty in battle. You are the Lord of hosts who controls everything. Everything answers to you. So, Father, we take our hands off the reins and we say, have your way. We trust you now more so than ever in this month of supernatural delivery. We step out the way and we let you have your way. Father, we give you all the glory. All adoration and thanksgiving be unto you. In Jesus' name. If you believe it, say amen.
Amen.
If you receive it, shout amen.
Amen.
If you know that it is done, give God a shout of hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to this episode. I pray that you were blessed. And if you enjoyed what you heard, please be sure to subscribe. And if you know a fellow lion that needs to join the tribe, please be sure, send them this link, share this episode. God bless you.